Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Job chapter 41. Today, I am going to cover verses 1 through 34, the entire chapter. I will call it simply Leviathan. What God is going to do in this chapter is describe basically a crocodile to Job and say, Job, compared to a crocodile, what are you? And if you are nothing compared to a crocodile, well then, that means you are nothing compared to the crocodile's creator, i.e. me, Yahweh. So Job, you've been a little bit uppity to me, and you need to repent. That's basically the theme of this chapter. Our context is this. In the previous chapter, Job 40, God basically challenged Job as to why you claim me that you're not a sinner. In the previous chapter before that, Job 39, the Lord looked at all the animals in creation, picked out a few and said, hey, Job, can you compare to these animals, these wonderful animals that I've created? No, you cannot. So you're a nothing burger compared to me, so quit being uppity. And then in the previous chapter before that, Job 38, God compared Job's creation ability. Can you create the stars, the seas, the earth, all the things of the natural universe? Can you even begin to understand that, Job? You need to be humble when you come to me and complain because I have allowed the suffering to go on and because I have not answered your pleas as soon as you would have liked. And I must say that this treatment of Job is pretty harsh by God. Even in all his misery, God did not want Job to criticize him. And I think that's a good application point for today. No matter how bad things get, don't ever complain to God. Ask him why. Ask him when it's going to be over. Pray for persistence and endurance. Do all that, but don't say, God, it's your fault. Don't ever do that. Well, let's start now in Job 41, verses 1 through 4. God says to Job, can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you or will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Now, verse 1 says, can you draw out Leviathan? That means out of the sea or out of the river. So right then this indicates that Leviathan is a sea monster. I think most commentators think that it's a crocodile. The NIV note says possibly the crocodile. Some people say it's a whale. Clark says it's a crocodile. Now, there was a mythological creature called Leviathan, and perhaps this is who God is referring to here. This is what the NIV Study Bible says. In the literature of the era, the Leviathan was used to symbolize evil political powers. The non-mythological Leviathan was the crocodile. In this speech, the Lord describes his sovereignty over the moral order, using the Leviathan to represent something that Job was powerless over. Man could never form an alliance with this creature, either by treaty or by force. If one could not stand up to this creature, how could one stand up to its creator? Well, the NIV Study Bible generally tells us the thrust of this chapter is that if Job can't compare to Leviathan, whoever Leviathan is, well, then how can one stand up to the creator of the Leviathan? And that's the main thing we need to remember. It's a minor subsidiary point as to what exactly this Leviathan was. So let's look at our options. It's this mythological creature that God is talking about. It's a crocodile or it's a whale. Those are our three major options. I'm going to opt for the crocodile. Now, in some place, in another place in Job, as a matter of fact, I can't remember where, but Leviathan was considered to be a mythological monster that wrapped himself around the sun and caused the light of the sun to go out during an eclipse, for example. But we're going to see that most of the references to this Leviathan in chapter 41 make it somewhat clear that Leviathan is a crocodile. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook? Can you go fishing for crocodiles? No. Can you press down his tongue with a cord? In other words, can you open his jaws and then put a rope through his mouth and tie his tongue down? I don't think so, Job. Verse 2, can you put a rope in his nose? Can you see his two little nostrils sticking up there on the front of his long nose and stick a rope through one side and then a rope coming out the other nostril and tie him? I don't think so, Job. Can you pierce his jaw with a hook? Can you put a hook in his jaw and lead him around? No, you can't, Job. Verse 3, will he make many supplications to you? Will he say, Job, take it easy? The crocodile speaking to Job, don't hurt me. Take that hook out of my jaw. Will he make many supplications to you, begging you for mercy, as the NIV puts it? Will he speak to you soft words? Will the crocodile say, oh, now, Job, let's take it easy, Job. Let's take it easy, Job. No, crocodile's not going to do that. Verse 4, will the crocodile make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? You're going to make a crocodile your slave, Job? We go down to Job 41, verses 5 through 10. God continues, Job, will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you bind him for your maidens? Will the traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him, arouse Leviathan the crocodile. Who then is he that can stand before me? Verse 5, will you play with him as a bird? The NIV says, will you make a pet of him? No, people don't have crocodiles for pets, Job. Will you bind him for your maidens? Will you put him on a leash, as the NIV has it, for your maidens? In other words, young servant girls who might want to play with the crocodile. Yeah, let's put a noose on him, just like you would a dog, so your servant girls can play with a crocodile. No, you don't do that, because the crocodile might eat up your maidens. Will the traders bargain over him? You going to sell some crocodile meat on the meat market? I don't think so. Crocodile's not going to like that. And besides, it's hard to bargain for something you can't catch, Job. Now, some people have said, well, the crocodile can be caught, so this Leviathan is probably a whale. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the level of crocodile-catching ability was back in Job's time. Will you divide him among the merchants? You going to be able to catch him and divide him up to sell crocodile meat? Probably not. Verse 7, can you fill his skin with harpoons? Now, that's why some people say it's a whale. But actually, this argues against a whale being a Leviathan, because it's easy to harpoon a whale. Harpoon goes right into a whale's flesh, not a crocodile, because a crocodile has steel for skin. Verse 8, God tells Job, lay your hand on the crocodile and remember the battle that will ensue. You will not do it again, because a crocodile is going to eat your lunch. Verse 9, behold, your expectation is false. What expectation? Well, the NIV has, any hope of subduing him is false. Your expectation of victory in a crocodile fight is wrong. You're going to lose. In fact, will you be laid low even at the sight of him? You're going to lose before you even start grappling with him. You're just going to look at him and say, okay, no mas, I'm out. Forget it. It's over. You win. I lose. Verse 10, no one is so fierce that he dares to arouse the crocodile. Who then is he that can stand before me? In other words, if you can't beat the crocodile, how can you beat God who made the crocodile? If you cannot stand before the crocodile, how can you stand before the God who made the crocodile? We go now to Job 41, verses 11 through 14. Who has given to me, God continues speaking to Job, who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. I will not keep silence concerning his limbs, i.e. the crocodile limbs, or his mighty strength, or his orderly frame. Who can strip off his outer armor? Who can come within his double mail? Who can open the doors of his face? Around his teeth there is terror. Verse 11, who has given to me, to God, that I should repay him? In other words, God is in debt to no one. The NIV translates it, who has a claim against me that I must pay? Nobody. God is in debt to nobody. Paul seems to have had that passage in mind when he says in Romans 11:35, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? I'm sure Paul is quoting Job here. It's in all capital letters in the NASB, and the NASB always capitalizes Old Testament quotes in the New Testament. God doesn't owe anybody anything. He doesn't need anybody. What's the theological word for that? Aseity. God is totally independent and autonomous. In verse 12, God says, I will not keep silence concerning the crocodile's limbs. Now, that might be a little bit problematic, because you usually don't think of crocodiles having limbs. I mean, he does have a head and a tail. He's also got little legs that he walks on. Or his mighty strength. Of course, a crocodile is bodaciously strong, much stronger than an alligator. If you've ever been to these alligator farms down in Florida, it's worth a trip to go in there and watch these alligator handlers or these crocodile handlers as they try to grab their mouths and keep them shut. The muscles opening the mouth are much weaker than those that slam the mouth shut. I always thought those guys had a screw loose that were handling the crocodiles, but they're very, very strong. His orderly frame, designed perfectly for crocodile-like things. Verse 13, who can strip off his outer armor? Of course, that is also referred to in verse 13 as the crocodile's double mail. The Holman Christian Study Bible says his double layer of armor. That perfectly describes a crocodile's skin, because if you think about it, It looks like steel rivets, hard as steel. Now, there's a translation issue here. The NIV translates this as who would approach him with a bridle instead of who can come within his double mail. Same idea. You're not going to mess with a crocodile. Verse 14, who can open the doors of his face? Now, I love that, the doors of his face. The Holman Christian Study Bible merely has who can open his jaws, but the NASB, whose wooden literalness usually drives me crazy, and I hate it, but this time the literal translation is great, the doors of his face. You want to get inside the crocodile, you got to open up his mouth just like you open up a door, and then you walk into the interior. But have you ever tried to open up the doors of a crocodile? You got to be a well-trained person like the guys in Florida to open up the mouth of a crocodile. Around his teeth there is terror. You've seen the pictures, the long snout of the crocodile and just teeth everywhere, top and bottom. And they terrorize me. Jameson Fossum Brown says there's 60 of them. I don't know if Jameson Fossum Brown knows that correctly. He's an old commentator. I don't know how many teeth a crocodile has, but there's plenty of them. We go to Job 41, verses 15 through 17, and God continues to talk about Leviathan. His strong scales are his pride. Shut up as with a tight seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They clasp each other and cannot be separated. That doesn't sound like a whale. That sounds just like a crocodile's skin. His strong scales shut up as with a tight seal. You look at the back of a crocodile. It's not a smooth skin, but you see scales laid up one next to another so that no air can come between them, verse 16 says, because they're tightly joined. They are joined one to another. They clasp each other and cannot be separated. That describes a crocodile skin. We go now to Job 41, verses 18 through 21. Leviathan's sneezes flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning torches. Sparks of fire leap forth. Out of his nostrils smoke goes forth as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes forth from his mouth. Now in verses 18 through 21, God uses some descriptions of the crocodile that are related to fire, which is strange because a crocodile is a sea creature. The one I like the best is in verse 18, the crocodile's. Leviathan's eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. The NIV translates that as the rays of the dawn. Now if you think about it, if you're looking at the sun coming up over the horizon, doesn't that look just like a sleepy crocodile who's just raising his eyelids real slow so he can look at you? It's only one, but that's what it looks like. That's a great metaphor. A crocodile's eyes do look like the sun coming up over the horizon. In fact, Adam Clark says the Egyptians in their hieroglyphics made the eyes of the crocodile the emblem of the morning. Verse 19, out of Leviathan's mouth go burning torches. Now, this is hyperbole, of course. Burning torches do not literally come out the mouth of a crocodile. John Gill says that the foundation for this hyperbole is the fact that vast quantities of water are actually thrown out through the nostrils of a crocodile. Adam Clark says when the crocodile spurts up the water out of his nostrils, the drops form a sort of iris or rainbow. Well, that's a stretch. Clark continues, the crocodile, according to naturalists, lying long underwater and being there forced to hold its breath, when it emerges, the breath long repressed is hot and burst out so violently that it resembles fire and smoke. Well, I could go with that. Out of his mouth go burning torches. The mist looks like smoke of a burning torch. The mist of his mouth when he lets out his long repressed air. Sparks of fire leap forth, same idea, especially if the sun is reflecting off of these droplets of water. Verse 20, out of his nostrils smoke goes forth as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. Again, the smoke being the mist that comes out of his mouth and out of his nostrils. And the smoke comes forth like a boiling pot, burning rushes. The NIV has as from a boiling pot over a fire of reeds, puts the pot and the rushes together. But anyway, the imagery is clear here. That crocodile, something when he comes out of the water, blowing out of his nostrils and out of his mouth. We go down to Job 41, verses 22 through 24. God continues speaking to Job about the crocodile. Strength resides in his neck, and dismay dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together, solid as metal and immovable. His heart is hard as a rock and hard as a lower millstone. Now, verse 22 says strength resides in his neck. That sure doesn't sound like a whale, but a crocodile doesn't have one either. So Clark says the neck must refer to the crocodile's head and shoulders, and I believe it does. Dismay dances before the crocodile. That means if you're in front of the crocodile, you're going to start dancing, leaping, jumping around, and you're going to be very dismayed. Verse 23, the folds of his flesh are joined together, solid as metal and immovable. There's no cracks in his armor, in other words. It's solid, like metal. You can't get to the crocodile's innards if you're trying to kill him. Verse 24, his heart is as hard as a rock. Now, that's probably referring to his courage. That's probably a metaphor for the spirit of the crocodile, because nobody's heart is hard as a rock, because a heart's got to beat, and it can't be hard as a rock if it's going to be a heart. So that's probably a metaphor here for his spirit. This heart is hard as a lower millstone. Why a lower millstone instead of an upper millstone? Because the lower millstone was required to be harder than the upper millstone, because it had to bear the weight. We go now to Job 41, verses 25 through 29. When Leviathan rises, God continues speaking to Job, the mighty are terrified. They withdraw because of his thrashing. You ever seen a crocodile thrashing about? Well, yes, you're going to withdraw. Anybody would withdraw. Verse 26, the sword that reaches him will have no effect, nor will a spear, dart, or arrow. So all these sharp weapons will just bounce off the mail. The double mail of the crocodile's skin. Verse 27, the crocodile regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. In other words, if you were approached, Job, with a straw broom or a rotten stick of wood, would you run? No, because you wouldn't be afraid of it. Well, that's just what the crocodile thinks when he sees his enemy's spear, darts, or arrows. He laughs at them. Verse 28, no arrow can make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Stubble is like, the NIV has chaff there. Sling stones are like chaff. You ever seen chaff? You throw wheat up into the air, the wind blows the chaff away, and it kind of floats lightly away in the air. Well, that's what a sling stone is like to a crocodile. This is great poetry. Verse 29, a club to the crocodile is regarded as stubble. Again, that light chaff, that piece of straw, as the NIV puts it, the chaff that floats away into the air. That's what the crocodile thinks about that club that's being brought to bear on his head. And finally, in verse 28, the crocodile laughs at the sound of a javelin. Oh, you're going to throw a javelin at me? Ha, ha, ha. We go down to Job 41, verses 30 through 34. God continues describing the crocodile. His undersides are jagged potsherds, spreading the mud like a threshing sledge. He, that's the crocodile, makes the depths seethe like a cauldron. He makes the sea like an ointment jar. He leaves a shining wake behind him. One would think the deep had gray hair. He has no equal on earth, a creature devoid of fear. He surveys everything that is haughty. He is king over all the proud beast. Now, his undersides are like jagged potsherds. That's potsherds is a piece of clay that's broken, and of course they are always jagged. Clark says that refers to the hard and impenetrable scales of a crocodile. Clark says so hard and impenetrable are his scales that splinters of flint are the same to him as the softest reeds. Jameson Foss and Brown says that there were sharp and pointed scales on the belly like broken pieces of pottery. And I assume that's on the sides of the belly, because if you look at the bottom of a crocodile, I haven't done that too much, but I think they have soft skin on the bottom, but around that soft skin they have these scales. Verse 31, the crocodile makes the depths seas like a cauldron. That means when the crocodile swims through the water, there's turbulence in his wake, just like a ship. Cauldron, of course, is a pot with boiling liquid in it. The crocodile makes the sea like an ointment jar. Now, that's a strange metaphor. What does he mean about making the sea like an ointment jar? Gil, Clark, and Jameson, Foss, and Brown suggest that the crocodile leaves a sweet scent behind it as it swims. Well, I don't know about that. If you think that Leviathan is a whale instead of a crocodile, then you can think that the ointment jar is the whale's sperm, as in a sperm whale. As Gill says, which the whale sometimes throws out in great abundance, so that the sea is covered with it, whole pails full may be taken out of the water. It swims upon the sea like fat. Abundance of it is seen in calm weather, so that it makes the sea all foul and slimy. Well, we don't think it's a whale, so let's take what Adam Clark says. He says that the ointment of the ointment jar looks like churned up frothy water. You'll notice that all the comparisons here, we got an ointment jar, shining wake, gray hair or white hair. It's talking about the wake, the shining wake that's behind the crocodile as he swims through the sea. I need to back up to verse 30 and talk about how the crocodile spreads the mud like a threshing sledge when he walks on mud. When he goes through the water, he makes a wake. Looks like ointment in an ointment jar. It's a shining wake. One would think the deep had gray hair or white hair. That's when he goes through the water. But when he's on land, he spreads the mud like a threshing sledge. Now, a threshing sledge is a weighted sledge which is dragged over wheat to separate the grain from the chaff. So you can imagine a threshing sledge being dragged along the land next to the river, and it spreads the mud around. Verse 33, the crocodile has no equal on earth, nothing like him. A creature devoid of fear. Nothing makes a crocodile scared. Verse 34, he surveys everything that is haughty. He is king over all the proud beast. You know, we always think about the lion being the king, the lion king. If a lion saw a crocodile, do you think that crocodile would be in the least bit worried? What's the lion going to do? Chomp on the scales on the crocodile's back? The lion can't do a thing to a crocodile. The crocodile is king, not the lion. The NIV translates verse 34, he, the crocodile, looks down on all that are haughty. All the other haughty beasts might be haughty, but he's the haughtiest of them all, the crocodile is. Ladies and gentlemen, we have finished Job chapter 41 very easily here, because God spends the whole chapter comparing Job to a lowly, comparing the crocodile to Job, the crocodile coming out ahead in the comparison, and then a fortiori, if Job is less than a crocodile, then Job is also less than the God who made the crocodile. So God is just trying to make Job humble, which I'm sure he's done after these three chapters. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go to the last chapter in the book of Job, which we will call Job's Confession and Repentance, not to mention the fact that he got all his stuff back. The trial was over, the good news. So I hope you stay tuned for this happy event in our next chapter, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.